Everybody, Mike Malloy here. Welcome to Friday night's version of the program. Hope you are prepared for the commemoration this weekend. What is it, Kathy? Sunday. We talked about that here at the Malloy Show, about if there was anything that we should do. And we decided to draw on Bruce Springsteen. So a couple of times tonight, we'll use his lyrics, his music, just to commemorate that horrible day. Some fundamentalist preachers, evangelical Protestants, have their wallets in a wad here over the fact that clergy members are not invited to Mayor Michael Bloomberg, New York Mayor Michael Bloomberg's ceremony coming up Sunday. Yes, indeed. The mayor has come under attack, as a matter of fact, according to New York Times, by some religious and political leaders for not including clergy members as speakers. But you see, that was the appropriate thing to do, and I'm glad Bloomberg did it. Richard Land, who is the president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission, which is the public policy arm of the Southern Baptist Convention. How can you be about, he said in an interview that the planned ceremony only proved that New York, quote, was the epicenter of secularism, end quote, and therefore out of step with the rest of America. Really? Epicenter of secularism. You see, this is what the evangelicals do. You get them pissed off and they will rip your heart out. Bloomberg happens to be a Jew. There are lots of other Christian denominations, Catholics included, Muslims, Hindus, Zoroastrians, Buddhists, all sorts of people who live in New York. But this half-witted moron, Richard Land, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of Southern Baptist Convention, says that New York is the epicenter of secularism. Because the mayor of New York has made a decision to keep official pronouncements from religion out of the ceremony. Now, the irony here is the way it always is about this particular issue, just like these right-wing religious freaks, these evangelicals will tell you that the country has gone to hell because God was taken out of the classroom. The decision by the Supreme Court decades ago that there shall be no officially led prayer inside a public school. And, of course, when these right-wing morons tell you that, they are lying through their teeth, and they know they are. Nobody has ever, and no one has the power to do so, no one has ever said that people can't pray in school. Anybody can pray in school anytime they want to. They can pray all day long, so I guess as long as they get their lessons done. They can pray until little beads of blood break out on their forehead. They can pray and pray and pray and pray. What the Supreme Court said was, of course, that no branch of government can order or lead or commission the prayer. So the right-wingers, these cowardly evangelical Christians who are terrified of their own shadow, and especially terrified that if somebody challenges their murderous religion, that somehow their murderous religion will collapse. So, Richard Land, president of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention, is all pissed off. And then he made it real funny, Richard Land did. First of all, he said that New York proves that it's the epicenter of secularism, out of step with the rest of America, of course. And then he made a joke. He said, "We're not France!" Mr. Bloomberg is pretending we're a secular society, and we're not. We're not France. A Republican rep from Virginia, Congressman Randy Forbes, who is also a co-chairman of the Congressional Prayer Caucus. Congressional Prayer Caucus. Oh, my God. He sent Mr. Bloomberg a letter on behalf of the caucus members urging him to include prayer in the ceremony. Hallelujah! If we don't have prayer, what kind of ceremony is it going to be? And at the same time, some evangelical Christian leaders said they are outraged that an interfaith prayer service planned by the Washington National Cathedral did not include a Southern Baptist or other evangelical minister. There's a reason for it, you morons, I'm sure, even though it's not spoken, but I'll get to that in a second. Alan Wolf, director of the Center for Religion and American Public Life at Boston College, said, quote, "In miniature, this is what's happening to the whole country. 9/11 was this moment that we came together, and it lasted about 3.5 minutes. The country went from a brief moment of something like unity to complete balkanization, and now we're seeing it in religion and politics, like in everything else," end quote. Well, you know, part of that, I think, comes from the fact, I know I would not want to attend a memorial service for the victims of 9/11, which actually was all of us, but I mean the direct victims. I wouldn't want to attend it if some of these evangelical freaks were going to be there, and I'll tell you why. It was the evangelicals who said America got what it deserved, because of liberals and gays and atheists. Remember that? The two biggest, most popular evangelicals in America, Pat Robertson and Jerry Falwell, sat around afterwards and said, because of people like me, because I'm a liberal, because of people like you, if you happen to be an atheist or gay or liberal, it's your fault! Now, when that pig son of a bitch said that, and the other one of the pigs agreed, I just about lost it. Now, I don't know why, because, you know, I've never had any respect whatsoever for any kind of televangelist. I don't care who it is. But these two. Actually, just one left. Falwell stepped into oblivion. But right after 9/11, if you remember, it was the fault of gays and secularists and liberals and, oh, I don't know, throw in everybody there, Jerry. Huh? Democrats, maybe. How about dog lovers? People who plant trees? People who didn't believe, or people who do believe in global climate change? Huh? We're all a bunch of sons of bitches, weren't we? To you evangelicals. So your murderous, sick, filthy God was so pissed off because this population consists of atheists, gays, secularists, liberals, and so on and so forth. Your miserable, murderous God, according to you, you evangelicals, was so pissed off he decided to murder 3,000 people. Well, that pretty much is in keeping with the God of the Old Testament, this demonic psychopath who murders entire nations for sport. So if I were to attend one of these services and I found out that there was an evangelical minister there, I would run for the exit. We'll be right back.
is your nightly ammunition against right-wing rhetoric. Get locked and loaded with Mike Malloy.
21 past the hour. So the fanatic cult religious freaks in this country are losing their minds yet again because Michael Bloomberg has not invited any evangelicals to, or any, as a matter of fact, any religionists to the commemoration ceremony in New York City on September 11th. Oh, are they pissed off? Maybe, you know, maybe Bloomberg is remembering what the evangelicals said about the events of September 11th, that it was God's kick in the scrotum to America for being such a bad bunch of people. Huh, you think? Now, back in the day, because this country has so much diversified insanity called religion, the U.S. used to navigate religion in public life. Remember when, in a more gentle age, when people didn't really talk about the religion. They really didn't. Certainly not, you know, unless they were forced to, like Kennedy was because he was Catholic. But people just didn't talk about it. Somebody said, hey, what church? Now, here in the South, of course, as soon as they know your name, they want to know what church you go to. The Church of Satan is something that we used to say, but we don't say it anymore for obvious reasons. But civil religion is what it used to be called. Civil religion. You pretty much accepted, everybody pretty much accepted that people went to some sort of religious edifice on their particular day of rest and did their whatever they did. You know, their cannibalistic acts if it were in a Catholic church, their oi, oi, oi if it were in a synagogue, and the Muslim thing where, you know, they bend over and pray and bend over and pray and bend over and pray and bend over and pray. And, you know, other religions did their little thing, you know, but everybody was sort of like, okay, let's keep it out of the public square, really. Let's just, since we are a stew pot, we're not a melting pot in America, we're a stew pot. Okay, we have all these chunks floating around in the stew pot. Let's not piss each other off. Which is why the framers tried to keep religion out of everything. Because they know what they knew what happened all those years ago. They knew what happens when you start mixing politics and religion. Look what happened in the civilized world back in their time. This bloodshed after and prior to their time. It got to the point where it seemed like the function of religion was to behead people. You know, just cut their heads off. Murder, mayhem, slaughter, rape, pillage, you know, blah, blah, blah. That was religion. So the framers here said, look, can we keep this garbage out? Please, just keep it out. Okay, we hold these truths here, so that all men are created equal, endowed by their creator. Okay. But that's as far as they went, and for good reason. Because religion is murderous. Any good done by people who adhere to a religion is incidental to the fact that the religion itself is violent, and given a chance, it'll show you just how violent and bloodthirsty it can be. But I digress. 10 years ago, a prayer event at Yankee Stadium and a prayer service at the Washington National Cathedral attended by Bush were conducted in the tradition of civil religion. And they were held with no controversy to speak of, but now, according to the professor at Boston College, now, quote, the civil religion, those informed kinds of agreements, can't work if everyone is going to be litigious, end quote. Well, of course. And besides, the foundational truth of the Christian faith is, quote, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. In other words, all you people that are gathering in New York, and I'm sure Bloomberg knows this, to the Christian evangelicals, the families of the Jews, the families of the Muslims, the families of the atheists, the families of the secularists, the families of the Buddhists, the families of the Hindus, the families of all those people will be told in no uncertain terms, given a chance, by the evangelicals that their loved ones who died on September 11, 2001 are frying in hell! They're burning
down there with Gandhi. They're burning.
So I can understand why Bloomberg would give the middle finger, rhetorically speaking, to evangelical Christians. And in doing so, he has to do it to everybody. He can't just eliminate the Christians, although all religions are peopled and populated by insane people. But, Bloomberg says, okay, nobody, no religion, all right? But the evangelicals, who would condemn everybody for not believing their way, would condemn them to hell, are now pissed off. I don't know about you. But there's something very funny about that.
Everything. What have I become? My sweetest friend. Everyone I know goes away in the end. And you could have.
It's Mike Malloy.
25 before the hour. Yeah, there's Emma Loy ragging on religion again. When's he ever going to quit and get saved? So Mayor Bloomberg says, also said no speeches, no nothing at the commemoration, which is the way it should be. No religion, no religious leaders. You can pray as much as you want. If you go to this commemoration, help yourself. You can pray to plastic chairs if you want to, pray to whomever you want or whatever you want. So when the evangelicals say that religion has been banned from this commemoration or from the public schools or from any place on earth, they are lying through their teeth. But this is what religion people do. They lie, especially the leadership. If they told the truth, well, nobody would join up. You know what I'm saying? For a decade now, New York City has conducted the same ritualized ceremony on each anniversary of the attacks. As the New York Times points out, the heart of the ritual has been the reading aloud of the names of the victims. That's it. In 2003, the victims' children read the names. 2004, it was their parents. 2007, the honor went to first responders. And now this religious scum want to break into that with their terroristic religions. You see, if the evangelicals could get it through their heads, it's not about them or their belief system. It's not about them at all. It really isn't, even though two of their top leaders said this was a kick in the scrotum to America or into the, if you're female, I guess it wouldn't be to the scrotum, wouldn't it? Would it? But it's a kick in the worst part of the body politic. That's according to Falwell and Robertson. And the rest of these right-wing religious maniacs who infest religious talk radio, you know who they are. You know, all these are focused on the family. All these crazed, destructive, sick, mostly white men. And some white women. I said, maybe some black men or black women. I don't know. But it's not about them. It's not about some terroristic religion that tells you you're going to burn in hell for eternity if you don't believe exactly what they tell you to believe. So it's not about you people. Go away. Go away. Go wallow in your religiosity someplace and let the people who directly had a loss from the attacks on 2011 do what they do, or 2001, do what they do. Remember their loved ones. Although, to suggest they don't remember their loved ones 24/7 is insane. Of course they do. But a public commemoration, there's nothing wrong with that, is there? As long as you keep the religious freaks the hell away from it. Keep them away from it. And again, oh, and some of this was started by this bubble-headed moron on Fox News. What's her name? Gretchen Carlson. Yeah, she opened her stupid-ass mouth. She's the co-host of Fox and Friends. And she said that it was because of her term, political correctness. Oh, come on, for Christ's sake, can't you people ever come up with a new term? It's because of political correctness. Political correctness. Now, that was about the Interfaith Prayer Service in Washington, where no evangelicals were invited. And Gretchen Braindead Carlson opens her yapper and says, well, it's political correctness. The cathedral had included fringe groups like Buddhist nuns in the prayer service, but not Baptists. There's a reason for it, Gretchen. The Buddhist nun is not going to look at you and say, you're going to burn in hell if you don't believe in Buddha. Your ass is meat. No, see, they didn't do that, Gretchen. Buddhist nuns. And then she made a typically Fox statement, a typical right-wing, but more so Fox. This is what she said, quote, we're going to have a Buddhist nun, which we didn't even know existed. That's what she said. No, you didn't know that, Gretchen, because you are an ignorant dolt. That's why you don't know anything about Buddhist nuns. Now, why don't you go back to your studio and play with the little shiny objects that they leave in your dressing room until it's time for you to come out and sit on camera and make more dumbass statements? Okay? Goodbye, Gretchen. Bye-bye. See ya. Wouldn't want to be ya. God, they're like two-year-olds, so you have to treat them that way. Oh, they're going to have Buddhist nuns? I didn't even know there were Buddhist nuns. Of course you didn't. Of course you didn't. So something as horrific as the mass killing that occurred in this country's soil 10 years ago is now, as so many of these commemorations are, being corrupted, stomped on, twisted, perverted, diseased by religion. By religion. And you can make the argument that religious crazies, if you believe the official story, if you may choose to do that, then believe this, the religious crazies who committed this act. It's all about religion. The religious crazies who came here and committed mass murder, and then the religious crazies already here who said that the reason it all occurred, of course, was because, well, first of all, that other group has a false god, and secondly, the real god got pissed off because of gay people. Doesn't that make sense? Doesn't that make just perfect sense to you? I mean, doesn't that just connect like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5? Huh? Doesn't that just, isn't that perfect? Isn't that perfect? So Bloomberg says, no, we're going to do what we always do. It's about the people who died and their immediate friends and family. That's what it's about. So take your stinky religions and go someplace else. Take your speechifying and get the hell out of town. Go away. Go away. Let the mourning be done without the flavor of death that you people bring to it. Just go. Ooh. Well, you know Bloomberg is a Jew, right? Well, that's why he's doing it. He's a Jew. I wonder how many of these Baptists are thinking that, saying that. How many focus on the family freaks sit around after the mics are turned off and say, well, you know, he is Jewish. That, you know. God. What, Kathy? The what 911 thing going out? Yeah. At the top of the hour. Yeah. Going out at the top of the hour. You're talking about the Bruce Springsteen thing. Yeah. Yeah, we're going to share with you in about 18, or no, whenever we go out, we're going to do this, You're Missing. Remember that? The Bruce Springsteen song? Shirts in the closet, shoes in the hall, mom's in the kitchen, baby and all. Everything is everything. Everything is everything, but you're missing. Coffee cups on the counter, jackets on the chair, papers on the doorstep. You're not there. Everything is everything, but you're missing. Pictures on the nightstand, TV's on in the den. Your house is waiting. Your house is waiting for you to walk in. For you to walk in, but you're missing. You're missing. You're missing when I shut out the lights. You're missing when I close my eyes. You're missing when I see the sunrise. You're missing. Children are asking, if it's all right, will you be in our arms tonight? Morning is morning. The evening falls. I have too much room in my bed, too many phone calls. How's everything? Everything? Everything. Everything. You're missing. You're missing. God's drifting in heaven. Devil's in the mailbox. I got dust on my shoes. Nothing but teardrops. So, when Springsteen recorded that, of course, in commemoration of the people who died, he was addressing it to the families, to the friends, to the people who really directly suffered. I just find it I just find it disturbing, very disturbing, the way the religionists have stuck their asses up in the air about what the mayor of New York has decided to do. I just find it grindingly disturbing. And yet I find it typical, just so typical. The religionists who are so quick to condemn you to eternal damnation, fire, pain, death, destruction that never ends, want to be included in a ceremony commemorating an event that they say was God's kick in the guts to America. Go figure.
September day, let us pray.
It's Mike Malloy.
Ten before the hour. What album was, or CD was this from, Kathy? You were missing? Huh? The Rising. The songs on which were mostly about, or totally about, the events of 9/11. Commemorations such as these should be left to poets and artists. And the reason for that, very simply, is that poets and artists have attuned themselves to the kind of vibrations that occur around these events. They're not interested in the political or the religious. And whatever condemnation shows up in the art or the poetry is condemnation of that aspect of humanity that fosters this kind of violence against each other. So Mayor Bloomberg's decision, in my opinion, was a proper one. And I certainly applaud him for making that decision. Next hour, we have lots of stuff to bring up. We're going to do podcast trivia tonight. We're going to go out this hour with Springsteen's You're Missing. 7 past the hour. At the bottom of this hour, we're going to do podcast trivia. And then we will take some phone calls about campfire stuff. This hour is sponsored by, let me see here, Bill McGuire. Bill is, his message is, Mike, I love the show. This is my way of keeping it on the air. Bill, thanks. I appreciate it. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, no. That was last week. This hour is sponsored by the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. This message written by Susan. Or as she's known there, I'm for Earth. The message, the question, on the eve of the eve, we truth seekers meet in quiet speculation. 10 years to the game the leaders play. Will this be the year of our final defeat, the ending of a nation? I don't know. That's kind of a riddle, right? Anyway, to the Malloy and Skype chat rooms, thank you very much, folks. This is, what, 11 times you've done this now. Dear God, at 25 cents per show, how many years is that, Kathy? I got to stay on the air another 18 years just to... So, from the Malloy and Skype chat rooms... Susan, whose handle is I'm for Earth, wrote this. Here's their message. The question. On the eve of the eve, we truth seekers meet in quiet speculation. 10 years of the game the leaders play. Will this be the year of our final defeat? The ending of a nation? God, I hope not. What else do we have here? Well, just a whole bunch of stuff. I know, I just drove away probably 80% of the audience, which would be 24 people, with that rant about Bloomberg deciding that there would be no religious garbage at the commemoration, no political or speechifying, just commemoration of the people who were hurt most directly by the terror attack on this country, whether it came from within or without, is immaterial. Where it concerns the remembrance of the dead, all right. So I get, I get off on those tears because it's just infuriating to me. It really is. That the evangelical crazy people in this country have so taken over everything. That is not owned outright by the capitalists, and a lot of them are capitalists, and then they whine and bitch and pick boogers out of their noses and say, oh, nobody loves us. Everything is secular. We don't ever get recognized. Oh, please, shut up. Sit down. You spend more time praying and less time bitching. Maybe something would happen for you. I don't know. Did you hear about the South Carolina governor? Nikki Haley? Yeah. She went on a European trip. And her honor, the governor of South Carolina, didn't like the coverage that was run in the Post and Courier newspaper in that state. Last Sunday's story described this trip, $127,000 in expenses that Haley and other state officials spent on a week-long trip to Europe. You know, to attract European countries to South Carolina. Right! Here are some of the details relayed by the Post and Courier on the trip. Quote, Haley, who captured the governor's office preaching fiscal restraint, spent the cash so she, her husband, and the rest of the state's contingent could stay in 5-star hotels, sip cocktails at the Paris Ritz, woo, dine on what an invitation touted as delicious French cuisine at a swanky rooftop restaurant, and rub elbows with the U.S. ambassador to France at his official residence near the French presidential palace. The state newspaper reports that South Carolina Democratic Party Chairman Dick Harputlian suggested that Haley's remark, which I haven't shared with you yet, reflected, quote, a lack of judgment and maturity, end quote. Harputlian went on to say it's a disgrace that the governor would diminish a woman trying to do her job. So what happened? The woman, the reporter wrote this, happens to be female. And in a radio interview yesterday, the Republican governor, Nikki Haley, referred to her as a little girl. She said, God bless that little girl at the Post and Courier for reporting on our trip. That little girl. Yeah. And some of you folks think that those kinds of comments only come from males. All right, 99% of the time they do. But here's Nikki Haley, who is a governor, for Christ's sake. But she's a Republican, so, you know, trying to demean people or diminish people, actually, for reporting the truth. Calling her a little girl does not diminish the facts that Nikki Haley and her husband and this group of her best friends in state government stayed at five-star hotels, sipped cocktails at the Paris Ritz, dined on what their invitation called delicious French cuisine, and on and on and on. Haley, Governor Haley defended the spending in interviews. And an article she wrote that the newspaper published yesterday, or Wednesday, the Associated reports that on Friday, today, Governor Haley said she regrets her choice of words. What she meant to say is not that little girl at the Post and Courier, but that little bitch at the Post and Courier. That's what I meant to say! Why don't these reporters leave me alone? I'm the governor! I'm a Republican! I can do any damn thing I want. Get your little girl out of my face here. Bam, bam. Huh? Yeah, right? Right? Of course. Of course. Absolutely. Texas Governor Rick Perry's Republican rivals the other night criticized him during that debate over his executive order about 4 years ago ordering that teenage girls in Texas be vaccinated to prevent cervical cancer. Now, that move at the time got a lot of opposition from social conservatives. And it was later overturned by the state legislature. I mean, you don't have, if you're a governor of a dinky-ass state, and by dinky-ass, I mean, the governors in Texas don't have that much power. It's a very weak governor state. But you don't do that. You don't order all young girls in the state to get vaccinated against cervical cancer. You just can't do that. Now, if you're a school board, you may have requirements of what sorts of vaccinations are required to go to school. And even then, there are exemptions that can be granted for people who are just adamantly opposed to vaccinations. But this halfwit, this moronic bastard who thinks that Galileo, oh, never mind, I'll get to that later. Anyway, when they were criticizing him about ordering the vaccination, they left out these other Republicans on that so-called debate. They left out the key aspect of that story that no Republican is ever going to bring up about another Republican. I'll share it with you when we come back.
Malloy.
Past the hour. So, Rick Perry the other night got criticized by the other Republican trolls up there. What a collection of clowns. But he got criticized for ordering teenage girls in, all teenage girls in the state of Texas to be vaccinated to prevent cervical cancer. So the other Republicans went, oh, boo, boo, we're libertarians, you can't do that, boo. But they failed to bring up a key part of the story that was pretty much contained within Texas when it occurred, and in which Democrats, you can bet your ass, are poised to pounce on. Perry's order came after the drug company that manufactured the vaccine hired Mike Toomey, the former chief of staff of the governor, as one of the firm's top lobbyists in Austin. Toomey, who is now running the main super PAC backing Perry's candidacy, was retained by pharmaceutical giant Merck and Company that make the maker of the Gardasil vaccine, which is designed to prevent the human papilloma virus, or HPV. His hiring was part of an aggressive lobbying push. It says, where did I get this? Crooks and Liars? Don't know. His hiring was part of an aggressive lobbying push in Texas by the drug company. Merck also donated $16,000 to Perry's gubernatorial campaigns in the 2.5 years prior to the executive order. Merck paid Toomey between $260,000 and $535,000 in lobbying fees, according to state lobbying records. And even though Perry's Republican butt buddies up on that stage never brought up the connection during the debate, Democratic political operatives in a public watchdog group said yesterday that his association with Merck is likely to emerge as a prime example of Perry's so-called crony capitalism if he wins the Republican nomination. Why not bring it up now? Oh, I get it. You wait until he wins and then you bring out the heavy guns. You know, you people in the political process, you Democrats and Republicans, you really turn my stomach. You are so nasty. You really are. You're all of you. You're just so goddamn contemptible. And I'll tell you, political operatives, the the opposition research people that go to work for these candidates, the scum of the scum. I swear to God, they're filthy. And then these ad agencies that put together these attack ads that will find some little quirk in the voting record of a candidate. I don't care if he's Democrat or Republican or if it's a he or a she or whoever. It doesn't make any difference. But they'll find some little thing, maybe 8 years ago, chapter 87 of a bill that said, oh, we're also going to raise the taxes on cigarettes one penny. And they'll say, he raised taxes! She raised taxes! Oh, my God! You know, that kind of stuff. So, and the other thing, you know, as long as our political system has room for this kind of tactic, then the political system is trash. It's filth. It's degenerate. The whole thing sucks. And I don't care who does it. I don't care if Obama's operatives do it. I don't care if Hillary's operatives. I don't care if Perry, Bachman. It doesn't make any difference to me. Taken together, it's this kind of stuff that is utterly, absolutely, totally, and completely, along with a couple other aspects, destroyed the political system. How many times have you gone through an election cycle, right? You know, about 6 months out when the real heavy-duty advertising starts, and by the time it's over, you feel like you were too close to a hog pen, and somebody dropped a huge steel ball in the middle of the hog pen that weighs about half a ton, and all that hog feces just, oh God, no, I'm not talking about Limbaugh. All that hog feces just splashed up all over you. Huh? No, is that too graphic? Is that too much? But isn't that what it feels like? Oh, you've never been sprayed with hog feces. Okay, well, you never worked on a farm then. let me tell you, it's not good. It's double plus ungood. Squared. But anyway. The Republican trolls up there had their chance to go after Perry. Yeah, but Governor Perry Didn't your boy up there, didn't he get a good paying job and then went to work lobbying you? They're just filthy. They're disgusting. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, podcast trivia. The number here is 877-996-2556, and the question will be about Rick Perry. Is he a piece of work or what? Man, what they say, that nobody will defeat him unless they find him in bed with a live boy or a dead girl. We'll be back. Trivia, where all you have to do is get the correct answer to our trivia question. You win a one-year subscription to Lorecast. Download, sent to your email box every day. Even the days when we do repeat programs. So in those days, you get a two-for-one, which you're bitching. All you have to do is come up with the right answer. The retail value of this gift is $54.60. That works out to 25 cents per program on a year's basis, which is why we call it a two-bit radio program. Are you ready? Kathy, who do we have waiting for a chance to win podcast trivia? Well, my goodness, there's Wells in Los Angeles. Hello, Wells.
Yeah. Hey, Mike, how's it going?
Moving right along, Wells. How are you?
I am excellent. Thanks for asking.
All right. Are you ready?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Here comes your question.
All right.
Which one of the following is not among the recent comments by Texas Governor Rick Perry? A. Social Security is a Ponzi scheme. B. Fed Chairman Ben Bernanke may be committing treason if he orders more money to be printed. C. Texas can leave the union anytime it wants to. D. Galileo got outvoted by the Inquisition. And E. Elves and fairies have moved into his office back in Austin.
Wow. The elves and fairies seems like the obvious one.
Is that your answer?
Sure, why not? Let's go with that one.
You know, sure, okay, all right. That's it. All right. Wait a second, Wells. You won the trivia thingy.
Oh.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, you seem a little bit hesitant there. Do you believe in elves?
You never know.
Do you believe in elves and fairies?
Well, I don't know if Rick Perry does. He believes in a lot of nonsense.
Well, that's very true. He could very well believe that they had moved into his office back in Austin. Oh, my God. It's just getting curiouser and curiouser. All right. Now, before we hang up, I'll put you on hold and Kathy get the information. But you wanted to talk about the 9/11 decade, right?
Okay. Well, I have to give you props for you are absolutely the only political figure, anybody in the media that I ever hear correctly talk about 9/11 and actually is willing to ask the hard questions. And, it's suspicious like pretty much the rest of the country is, just nobody else is willing to talk about it. So I just want to say that it's greatly appreciated and that you should be very proud of the work you've done.
Well, thank you for the compliment. It's one of those topics, though, that so many people avoid literally because their careers would be at stake if they brought it up. And I'm talking about
it should be a career making,
Well, yeah. You'd think, but that's not where we live. We live in the United States of America that's owned by corporations. God only knows to what involvement the capitalists had in the events of 9/11. And it's one of the answers we'll never know. Just like what involvement did the capitalists have in the Kennedy assassination over all these years since then, the half century since Kennedy was assassinated. Little dribs and drabs constantly come out about how the military industrial complex was very pissed off that he had decided to withdraw from Vietnam. And decided that, you know, it might be time to get rid of him. So, it's just, I do not buy the official story of 9/11. I don't know what happened. I realize there are a lot of theories out there. Some of them sort of bizarre. Some of them really bizarre. Some of them not bizarre at all. And so many of them based on logic and reason and science and engineers and people.
Yeah,
who,
and some of them aren't theories. Some of them are absolute facts.
Well, there you go.
They're disputed. And also an interesting point that you brought up, the Kennedy assassination, and I'll let you go, is how the night before Kennedy was assassinated, didn't he have the papers on his desk to withdraw, to begin the withdrawal of troops from Vietnam?
I don't know.
September 10th, Bush did have the papers on his desk to invade Afghanistan, signed and everything, prior to the attacks happening. And then the next day, the attacks happened, and we just find it convenient that we were already preparing a mission to go into Afghanistan.
Well, nothing about the events around Kennedy's assassination or the events of September 11th, 2001, would surprise me. None of it. All right, Wells, thank you. Hold on, man. And Kathy will get the information. Oh, by the way, this hour is being sponsored. Yeah, it's them again. By the Malloy Skype. The Malloy chat room and the Skype chat room are sponsoring this hour, and they have a message. The message comes from one of the Motley crew, Susan, who writes the question. Ta-da. The question. On the eve of the eve, we two seekers meet in quiet speculation. 10 years to the game the leaders play. Will this be the year of our final defeat, the ending of a nation? Question mark. That just seems so, I mean, the comment, it just seems so zen, doesn't it? Huh? Anyway, thanks guys and girls in the Malloy and Skype chat rooms. Thank you very much. I've got a Prairie 2 thing here I'm going to get to in a minute. I just wanted to share this with you. Paul Ryan, House Budget Committee Chairman, Republican, Paul Ryan, Wisconsin. He's following the pattern of every would-be a tyrant. Paul Ryan has bigger designs than just being a Republican Budget Committee Chairman from Wisconsin. That's just for now. Ryan is a lean and hungry individual, kind of like Cassius. He has that lean and hungry look. And, of course, he's the author of the House Republican plan to get rid of Medicare, and he doesn't like it. Marie Diamond, writing at Think Progress, had this up. He doesn't like it when constituents publicly challenge him. Constituents. In fact, Marie writes, people who disagree with Ryan have a habit of getting arrested for it. Yeah, kind of like any totalitarian politician, thug. You know, go to Germany in the 20s and 30s, go to Russia anytime in about a 100-year span. I mean, go any place. Now you can go to the United States if you want to see political people who are being questioned in a public forum about their policies. You go to jail. Anyway, a few weeks ago, several of Ryan's unemployed constituents staged a peaceful sit-in at his Kenosha, Wisconsin office to protest his crappy decision not to hold any free public town halls during the August recess. Remember that? Now, these constituents had the crazy-ass idea that they shouldn't have to pay to ask their elected representative a question. I mean, of course you people deserve to go to jail. If you think that, are you out of your goddamn minds? Where do you think you live? In a democracy? In a democratic republic? You think you live in a society where your vote counts? Your voice means something? Oh, please! But the legend lives on. The traditions are still there. What? I have to pay to ask him a question? Well, by God, I'll stage a sit-in outside his office. Well, okay. Just be willing to accept the consequences. You know, and if you're willing to accept the consequences, good on you. Instead of meeting with these people, Ryan's staff called the police. So it should come as no surprise that this week, three people who paid to see Ryan speak, paid, were arrested and charged with trespassing. They bought a ticket. Trespassing. Because they went in and protested. Now, there's a video up. There's a constituent, a 71-year-old retired plumber from Kenosha, Wisconsin. He was handcuffed and pushed to the ground by security, not by the cops. I don't think it's by cops. It just says by security. And as it was reported, it says video footage taken by an attendee at the event showed that one of them, Tom Nielsen, received particularly harsh treatment. He was pushed to the ground and handcuffed. Nielsen received an additional charge of resisting arrest. Goddamn, don't you want to just smash something? Don't you want to just pick up the nearest stave or the nearest scythe or the nearest torch? Huh? Don't you? He's beaten to the ground, so he's charged with resisting arrest. Of course. Ryan was speaking Tuesday at the Whitnall Park Rotary Club. Protesters gathered both outside his event and inside, standing up and disrupting the congressman's remarks. According to Oak Creek Patch, what is that, a newspaper? As many as a dozen protesters were escorted out of the event. Another dozen or so left willingly. Now, Ryan, here's your populace. Amazing how so many of these populists turn out like Hitler part of the German high command or the Russian high command or now the American high command turn out to be nothing but absolute totalitarians. Ryan seemed undisturbed that a senior citizen, I hate that term, 71-year-old retired plumber, Tom Nielsen, was worried about receiving the Medicare he's paid into his whole life, that he was treated so brutally. In matter of fact, Ryan made light of the arrest, and he turned to the audience and he said, pointing to the guy that just got pushed to the ground, "I hope he's taking his blood pressure medication." Elaine is calling from Austin, Texas, listening on Sirius. Hello, Elaine.
Hey, how are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. You know, there's just so much about Rick Perry. I mean, I don't know where to start, from the Cameron Todd Willingham problem to the coyote shooting.
Is that the guy his wife caught him in bed with?
No, Cameron Todd Willingham is the guy that...
The person that was executed.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
right. That's right.
Yeah,
and then it turned out he was totally innocent.
Yeah, and Perry kind of is covering up like the forensics panel that showed that the evidence that was presented at his trial is, you know, just totally flawed. And Rick Perry changed the makeup of the panel, like right before the report was supposed to come out. I mean, to me, that is so egregious. Mm-hmm. And I could have slapped Brian Williams across the face the other day when he didn't bring that up after, you know, asking him, like, everyone's like going, yay, 200.
You know, I have to tell you, Elaine, when that cheer went up, when he was talking about how he executes people, I just about lost my supper. We have become certain aspects of the society so filthy, so rotten, so ragged, so unbelievably destructive to ourselves, and the smug look on his face when he stood there and said that. I don't know, man. I don't know. Whatever.
Well, especially in light of, you know, the West Memphis 3 release. I mean,
right.
one of those guys, Damien Echols, was on death row.
Right.
And, you know, and so, well, I guess he wouldn't lose any sleep over that either. But, you know, when you were talking a little bit about the HPV virus, I had a couple of comments that I was wondering why nobody brings this up. It's like, okay, first of all, Rick, you're for abstinence only. So if you're for abstinence only, why do you even need an HPV virus, right? I mean, since you're so assured that the abstinence only programs work, none of these kids are having sex, why the heck would you need the vaccine, right?
I mean, well, in a logical world, yeah, that would be a good question, but we don't live in a logical world. I think Rick Perry, especially somebody like Rick Perry, understands that, you know, sex is, and he just wants, you know, he wants to be popular with the religious crazy people.
Oh, sure.
A. B, he wants to get whatever kickback he's getting from Merck.
Oh, yeah, from Merck. That's absolute. But, you know, he vetoed a bill that would have prohibited drivers from texting, you know, while they were driving, because he said it was micromanaging people's lives.
Right.
But at the same time, he pushed through on an emergency basis this bill that required women's abortions to first view a sonogram of the fetus, I believe at their own cost. That apparently was not micromanaging people's lives.
Right.
You know, don't get it, but, you know, I don't know if you know about the $10,000 a month that we taxpayers are footing so that he can live in a mansion. You know about that?
No, I don't.
Oh, yeah. Well, this was a while back when the governor's mansion was going to be renovated. He said, well, I'm going to, like, you know, move into this $10,000 mansion in Westlake Hills, which is the real ritzy part of Austin. And so the press asked him, well, you know, how come you don't move into a double wide trailer like Mike Huckabee did when he was governor of Arkansas and the governor's mansion was being renovated? He's like, this is Texas, not Arkansas. So he moves everybody, most of the security over to his little mansion of $10,000 a month.
Right.
Guess what happens in the interim period?
What?
The Texas mansion gets attacked and burned down, and they still haven't caught the culprit. And meanwhile, he's out there at the $10,000 a month mansion. Why is nobody bringing that? Because to me, that is just incredible. You know, and there's just so much on this guy.
Yeah.
There's so much.
Well,
and
how soon do you think it'll be, Elaine, before national media, like, you know, respected journalists, real journalists like what's his name on NBC, Brian Williams, who was part of the interrogation team the other night. When do you suppose respected journalists are going to start asking the tough questions? Never.
Well, I know, but I mean, you know, why is it even Mitt Romney, who I'm not a big fan of, but I would take over Perry any day of the week, not that I want him to be elected, but it's just like, how in the world, why isn't he like shoving all this crap down people's throats? I mean, to me, the Democrat has got to take the Cameron Todd Wilson case, and Obama has got to like throw that all over the media and slam.
Never, listen, Elaine, that will never happen. Because no matter how barbaric and sick it is, the American public loves their executions.
Well, not
so, well, no, of course not. But The truth is, you know, you have a politician, I don't care who it is, who doesn't support capital punishment, his or her political career is totally over, finished. And, oops, did I just disconnect? I think I did. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry, Elaine. Remember Bill Clinton, when Clinton was running, not for re-election, but for election, the Ricky Ray Rector case, where a retarded man, even though the Supreme Court has ruled that people cannot be executed if they don't understand, if they happen to, I'm using the word retarded, right. And Ricky Ray Rector, when he was offered his last meal, he set aside half a sandwich to eat tomorrow morning because he didn't want to waste the food. And Clinton, Bill Clinton, he was running for the presidency. He went home to Arkansas, went to Little Rock, and sat in his office while the execution was occurring as a signal that he, Bill Clinton, was really behind executing people who didn't even know that they were being executed. We'll be back. Stay with us. The hour. All right, before we go to your phone calls, Prairie 2 checked in tonight, as he does occasionally. The Dow plunged more than 300 points today, closing below 11,000. This is mostly on fears of an impending European bank collapse. But the market was not helped by the Obama jobs plan either. Not because they don't like it, but because they believe it has zero chance of passing the Republican House. They have undying love for the Republicans down on Wall Street, but this relationship is really a suicide pact, and some investors don't care for that part of it. Commodities were almost all down with a sharp drop in oil prices, but gold and grain, also canned goods, were up slightly. The U.S. dollar hit a $1.36 to the euro, a number not seen for several years. This is a strong dollar. Cheaper imports, weak exports. The 10-year Treasury set another new high, which means even lower interest rates. This is great news for Obama's plan to reissue home loans, as this sets the home loan rate. It also affects consumer interest rates in general and should boost spending for durable goods like automobiles. This is all the opposite from what one would expect now that the U.S. credit rating has been downgraded to from AAA. There continues to be widespread calls from the right for public sector unions to agree to across-the-board pay freezes, if not outright pay cuts. In this light, we have Obama's new economic advisor, Alan Krueger, a Princeton labor economist. He's considered to be liberal and knowledgeable on real economics. He's not known to be a devotee to the Ayn Rand, Ronald Reagan, Chicago school of voodoo economics that we have been living under for the past 30 years. To revitalize the economy, you need to raise the wages of lower paid public workers and not cut them, as the pins in the doll crowd advocates, in order to work their economic magic. Surprisingly, the Obama administration is pushing for an immediate Senate confirmation hearing on Professor Krueger. and apparently wants to make a show of it. Recess appointments are impossible now, as the Senate needs the permission of the House to recess, and the Republicans won't allow it. Jesus, this is continuing to cripple the Obama administration and the courts, where some federal districts have a shortage of judges. This was the issue that John Roll, Arizona's chief federal judge, wanted to talk to Congressman Giffords about when he went to meet her that Saturday morning. Federal judges are allowed bodyguards from the U.S. Marshals Service, but Judge Roll didn't think he should need one. Republicans in the congressional leadership are starting to make noises about cooperation on the jobs bill, as their disapproval rating now stands at 85%, a new record. Traditionally, you always have polls that show the majority of voters thinking that all the bums in Congress should be replaced. That is, except their own local representative who gets the nod anyway. Not so this year. A solid majority want to replace all of Congress, even the bum from their district. The Senate had a working session before and after Obama's speech yesterday, and one thing they passed was a $500 billion rise in the debt ceiling. This got little attention in the media, as the trick baked into the process by Republican Minority Leader Mitch McConnell failed to work. You see, as part of the deal with the Republicans to avoid default, the debt ceiling can only be raised in small chunks. Each time the House and Senate can pass a resolution of disapproval that the president could then veto in order to get the debt limit increased, and with much fanfare, the Republicans would then attempt to override the veto. All of this intended to create much press fodder to play for the low-information voter back home. Unfortunately for the Republicans, this scheme requires that enough Blue Dog Democrats vote with them to pass the resolution of disapproval in the Senate, or it simply dies an unnoticed death. Because of the unusually low approval rating of Congress, Blue Dog Democrats are staying under the porch, and the resolution failed, 52-45, in a vote held after Obama's speech. The only crossover vote was from that perennial traitor, Democrat Ben Nelson of Nebraska. Prairie2.com. Bruce, I have to tell you, I think this was the only missive I've gotten from, well, the first one I've gotten from you in a long time, with no chunked up sentences or misspellings. Congratulations, Bruce. I mean, I'm really proud of you. Bruce is using spell check now. And thanks, Bruce. Ay, ay, ay. Voya is in Birmingham. Hello, Voya.
Hello.
Hi.
Did I talk with the right person?
What?
Did I talk with the live person?
With which person?
Live person.
Live? We don't have any live people here.
Oh, everybody's died? That will explain the point of your radio. I would need to talk to somebody, and I have a little opinion about all of that is going on in the Mike Malloy show, because it is very, very interesting. I love it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, let me see if I can get a live person for you. Can you hold on?
Sure.
Okay, hold on. Just stay right there. Hold on. Dorian is in Los Angeles. Hello, Dorian.
Yeah, hi.
Hey.
Yeah, you know, I'm glad that I was able to make it on your show.
Oh, good.
You know one thing? This coming Sunday is a very sad day for two reasons. What happened in my hometown, New York, and the continuous lying and cover-up of what happened there that day.
Yeah.
Now, I want everybody listening to this show to remember that on September 12, 2001, one day after the attack on my hometown, that rotten Rudy Giuliano gave a conference interview to ABC News the very next day and said that Building 7 was ordered to be pulled. Do you know what that means in construction? That means to be blown up.
Yeah.
You could look this up on the Yahoo Mayors of New York City.
Right.
September 12th.
All right, now, Dorian, I have to tell you, I don't like to get into too many of these details because they've been hashed over so many times that I think most people listening to this program are aware of them. What else you got?
Oh, no, well, that was my main point that I wanted to get across.
All right, Well, I appreciate it. But, Dorian, you're preaching to the choir. Most people who listen to this program are real aware of those facts, and I appreciate you bringing them up again. But thanks, Dorian. Do-do-do-do. Voya?
Yes?
I can't find a live person. I'll keep looking.
Is that by the choice or about you by your selection?
Yeah, by that. Can you hold on a second?
By what? Not specific.
Well, just
by selection or by the choice?
Well, it's by the selection, because when you turn the dials, nothing happens, and then this little stuff comes out, and I don't want, to have a whole package of carrots break open. If you'll hold on a second, I'll try to find
you
a line.
You don't like to have the whole package?
Yeah. Hold on a minute.
What?
The carrots. Hold on, Voy. I'll try to find a live person. Just stay there. Stay there. Hold on. Mark is in San Francisco, listening on Green 960. Hello, Mark.
Hi, Mike. How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Pretty good, thanks. Just wanted to bring up the fact, when I think of 9/11, I think about the Project for a New American Century, where the neocons wanted a catastrophic event or another Pearl Harbor.
Yes.
So what we do know that's fact is that the neocons wanted a 9/11, and they wanted it so they could initiate their agenda. And that agenda was basically to, basically start wars in Iraq and then eventually in Afghanistan also. And do whatever they wanted to the American people and do it under the guise of terrorism.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
So that has to be brought out. I mean, sometimes somebody's got to confront these people and say, they wanted this.
Well, I think a lot of us, Mark, who still have just a minor part of our brains left, understand that. And I know you do, and I certainly do. Mark, there's the break music. Thanks, pal. I appreciate you checking in. Zoya? Zoya?
Yes.
Okay, hold on. I'm still trying to find a live person. Hold on a minute. Hold on.
Or did you?
Angry, let Mike do it for you.
21 past the hour. Are we in the third hour? We are. This hour is sponsored by Anonymous. I'm getting confused. Anonymous has a message. In memory of my beloved mother, Edith, whose grandchildren called her Sweetie Pie, and today is my 63rd birthday, and I miss her more today than ever. I'm sorry to get that garbled up here. It's from Anonymous. The message is, in memory of my beloved mother, Edith, whose grandchildren called her Sweetie Pie, today is my 63rd birthday. I miss her more today than ever. From Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous, for the sponsorship. Hold on a minute. Voya? Voya?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. Will I do? Can you talk with me?
Sure. About what do you want to talk?
Huh?
About what do you want to talk?
How long do I want to talk?
Yeah, about what do you want to talk? I was setting ideas. And you're talking about your grandmother or whoever talking about the Sweetie Pie grandmother. What does that have to do with the government issues? I'm not concerned so much about Obama because he lived like his regular brotherhood out of the government in the White House.
Yeah.
What about the Clinton?
Well, that's true.
What about George Bush?
Yeah.
What about his father, who is sharing the company, oil company, in Texas with a so-called defeated Obama Bin Laden?
That's right.
What about that, people?
That's right. I know, I know. Do you ever eat spaghetti? I don't either. And you know why?
Oh, come on.
Do you know why?
Brush it off.
Do you understand? Boya. Boya, yes. I have to tell you, in the Gulf of Mexico, right? Isn't that what you're talking about, the Gulf of Mexico?
No, I'm not talking about the Gulf of Mexico.
Oh, I thought you
were. And I'm not so easy to be confused. I mean, I don't know why acting so confused when you know.
I have no idea.
But you just like to be in the right.
Wait a minute. Let me find a live person. Hold on a minute. Hold on. Oh, Voya. My goodness. We'll find somebody. We'll find it. Just a minute. Steven is in Burbank. Hello, Steven.
I just died laughing. Sorry, I'm not your guy.
Oh, is this Boya with a different voice?
I'm anything anybody wants me to be.
Yeah, I mean, good. Well, that's good. I love shapeshifters. I mean, you know, I'm Irish, so shapeshifters are very important to me. What's up, dude?
I'm English, German, Romanian, and did I say Ireland already?
Oh, you did, or somebody did. It doesn't matter.
But there's four pieces of me, and if we want to go back and have America up here in white, then you have to cut me into four different pieces and ship all of those pieces back to those different parts in the world. That's gruesome. I'm sorry.
Yeah, that's right, Stephen. Go ahead.
The American public, as we know, is simple-minded.
Yeah.
They have been made that way through public relations, you know, perception management.
Right.
And the way to communicate with simple is to do what is simple. Like elementary school was simple. You remember, like, Monday morning, sometimes there would be a show and tell.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, a kid would do a little project, you know, a little science thing, and come in and show it to the classroom. You know, that's nice, dear. And then another kid would come in and tell some kind of weird fantasy story thing.
Right.
It was easier to believe the show because it was there than the tell. Because when they tell, they say, well, I don't believe that. But show them.
Yeah.
And so with 9/11... you know, we look at sideways glance at history, just a quick glance, and we see that if the power elite wants the populace to get all riled up, to go to war, to accomplish whatever it is they want to accomplish, they tell them. Tell them that they are under attack. And they can tell them, and then maybe, you know, tell them that they are under attack.
Mm-hmm.
It is much easier and quicker. It is cost-effective, more competent and efficient. Show them that they are under attack.
That's right.
And that's what happened in 2001. You know, this coming Sunday, there's going to be the Big Tenth. Just show them that they are under attack. And the hornet's nest is all riled up, and they point at where the guy with the baseball bat did it. They chase after him, you know, just go nuts, you know. And that's what's been happening for 10 years.
It has, and I don't see it ever changing. Steven, it's time. Thanks for checking in, pal.
Okay, bye.
All right, Steven, take care. We'll be back in a couple of moments. Voya?
Yes.
You're still there?
I still have some here. I'm
okay.
Waiting on a live person.
A live person. All right, hold on.
Do we have a...
you ready for Radical Talk Radio? It's Mike Malloy.
Before the hour. This hour is being sponsored by Anonymous, and the message, in memory of my beloved mother Edith, whose grandchildren called her Sweetie Pie. Today is my 63rd birthday. I miss her more today than ever. From Anonymous. Thank you, Anonymous. I appreciate it. Steve.
How you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
Surviving.
Well, good. All right. Tell me what you think of Obama's jobs plan.
Not enough. It's really just not enough. It's a drop in the bucket. It's a nice thought for when we're in good times, but it's not even a beginning. And what's sad is it still eats into really our side of the ledger and doesn't go into really any of the things that we really need to cut to move this country forward. We got to cut the military spending. It is out of control, and we're still killing our own kids,
right,
you know, with that. But it gets us nowhere, and it takes away from the ledger, the side of the ledger that is already blood dry. It takes us nowhere, and the sad thing is the Republicans are going to against it anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this talk that is starting to circulate now that some of the Republican leadership are saying, well, you know, we can work with some of this. You know, they're talking about what they want to do is peel off certain sections.
Right.
And that will fit with their Destroy America agenda. And the ones that the parts of Obama's jobs plan that, you know, that might work. I agree with you. It's pretty much BS. But the parts that might work, the Republicans have no intention of passing. And the thing is, I think it should be clear to everybody in this country now that Republicans, modern Republicans, will destroy their own country in order to get Obama.
It's
unbelievable.
I'm so, first of all, I want to say thank you for being on the air.
Well, you're welcome.
So many nights where I think you're like going to pull the hair out of your head, and if there's anything left, you're really, you're doing a great, great service for this country.
Well, that's a nice thing to say. Thanks, Steve.
No, I want to tell you, you have no idea. And I'm going to dedicate this, even though I might not have the right to do that. I'm dedicating my phone call to Fred Friendly.
Okay.
Remember that name?
Oh yeah, the guy, the head of the FCC.
CBS.
Who talked about the vast wasteland? Is that the one you're talking about? No, that was Newton Minow.
No, that right.
Yeah.
This guy was the guy who behind the scenes, he was responsible for getting CBS to put the Watergate hearings on, to put all the Vietnam on during the 60s. He was the guy behind Walter Cronkite, behind all those guys. He was the one that was sitting in the room with the guys who were deciding what to put on,
right,
to make CBS what it was. And
right.
And I picked up a paperback of his during the last couple of weeks for a buck that was written in 1967.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to have to email you, you know, the whole thing. And you won't believe what he wrote. It is incredible for today. Perfect for today. Same thing.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I really wanted to, but what you said, I hate taking too much of your time.
No.
But what you said about the Republicans destroying the country, the Republican Party at this point is a foreign entity. They are for taking American taxpayer money. They are for sending it overseas, sending our jobs overseas. There is nothing the Republican Party is for domestically. They are a foreign entity.
Mm-hmm.
And they are doing exactly what you said. They are for destroying this country, distributing our wealth overseas to corporations overseas that have nothing to do with this country anymore.
Mm-hmm.
This is where they started, but they're overseas now. And that's where our money, that's where our jobs, and that's where our wealth is going. You are completely right on target.
Yeah, wish that it weren't so, but I'm afraid it is. Hey, Steve, thanks, man.
Take care.
All right, you too. Take care. Avoya?
Yes.
Yeah, I got a live person.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, that's surprising, and that's very exciting. I can't believe that. How did you do that? It's not Halloween yet.
I pulled the stake out of his heart.
It's not Halloween yet. How did you do it?
All right. I'm your live person. What's up, Voya?
Nothing much. What's up with you?
Oh, no. Well, I mowed the lawn today.
Yes.
Did the vacuuming.
You do those things?
Yeah.
You vacuum? So what do you, what wife's doing if you're vacuuming and if you're doing all of those things? What she's doing?
She was making deviled eggs.
Oh, how creative. That's promising. That's very promising.
Yeah, okay. So, what prompted you to call?
I'm listening to your radio for about maybe 45 minutes while I'm driving from nowhere back down in Alabama. The beautiful, of course, business-wise. And I just cannot get how much you're stuffing the people's heads with all the non-essential things. And you vote for the president.
Like what?
You give him a chance.
Like what non-essential?
Now you complain about him.
Like what non-essential things, Voya, am I stuffing with the people's heads?
What? You don't want to hear the truth.
No, I'm asking you, what's the truth? What am I stuffing with the heads?
This is my conceived truth. This is what I believe in.
What? I'm sorry, you lost me there. What? You're believing in what?
I believe that you will have a douchebag from the president.
That's what
I believe.
I have a what?
Douchebag for the president.
You saying douchebag on my program?
Yes, I did.
Why are you doing that?
Because this is the way I'm talking. When I'm talking, I'm not pretending. I'm not smiling. And later on, I don't shove you the knife in the back. I'm who I am.
What?
You like that or you don't like that? Goodbye.
Well, but... Oh, no! Don't leave! Hello? Oh, no! She left! I bet that was blue. What do you want to bet? That was blue, right, Kathy? Huh? I'm stomping with the heads! What was that? Oh, my God.
I don't know, but I am so hungry now for a pierogi. I can't even tell you.
Well, Voya, if you're still listening, I'm sorry. You were driving. Oh, my God. You're driving. And that was a mishmash. I mean, I have no idea. The president is a what? I mean, he's incompetent. He's because he's not a good leader. But dang. All right. Well, Zoya, do call in again. All right. He covered up the Aussie accent pretty good too, didn't he? Huh? I like that. Yeah, that's right. When he called in and said he was from Toledo, I'm crushing your head! I mean, I know. I have no idea what Zoya was talking about. I swear to God. Was she, I'm filling heads with stuff, and then she says the president is a blimp, blimp. I mean, my God. What? You know, a lot of people in the chat room think that was you. Yeah, I know. No, you couldn't do one that good. No.
I wouldn't even attempt it.
No, I'm Whew. Zoya. Okay, listen, Zoya, if you're still listening on Sirius, do call back. Not tonight, but, you know, sometime. Call back. I'd love to listen to you again. I have no earthly idea what you were talking about, what you were saying. But it certainly was good. David is in Santa Fe. David, welcome to the program. David?
That was pretty crazy. That was like something out of John Belushi's Saturday Night Live.
Hey, David, hold on a second. I got to do a commercial here. Hold on. We'll come right back to you. I'll try to find somebody live for you, too, David.
Yeah, blood flowing down. You're the blood of my blood. Crying from the ground. Empty sky, I woke up this morning in the empty sky.
For the hour. This hour has been sponsored by Anonymous. And the message from Anonymous: in memory of my beloved mother Edith, whose grandchildren called her Sweetie Pie, today is my 63rd birthday. I miss her more today than ever. Well, happy birthday, Anonymous. And thanks for the sponsorship. It's very kind. Back to David in Santa Fe.
Hey, this is David in Santa Fe. I want to thank you for this place to listen to some sanity with all this bizarro world stuff going on every day.
Well, we aim for it once in a while, at least twice a week. But
well, I listen to you a lot, Mike.
Well, thanks.
I just want to thank you for that. You know, I'm from the Lakota Nation.
Uh-huh.
People call it the Sioux, but it's really Lakota.
Right.
And we have a long-standing saying. It says we are all related. It goes Metakriyasin, but I'm not so sure about people like Rick Perry and, you know, some of those freaks.
Yeah.
You know, the clown show the other night.
Oh, my God.
It's just so disgusting, Michael. I mean, just...
It's
like,
awful.
Like you were saying... Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, how can... I don't know what those people's thought processes are. All I know is what they display in front of a national television audience or in front of people they want votes from. But I just have to wonder sometimes, what are their thought processes? How do they think? Because they seem to me, seriously, truthfully, they seem to me to be an alien race, not from here, not from this planet.
I agree.
You know, and it's because I'm pretty connected to life. I mean, I have children. I have grandchildren. I've been around for a long time. I've seen all kinds of things, some of which I didn't like to see. I have developed a certain worldview, I guess, that's not shared by everybody, but I hear what people are saying. And as soon as I hear the craziness, I tend to write them off. But I wonder what is it that they are thinking? What process is Newt Gingrich or Michelle Bachmann? What process are they using?
Well, I don't think they are thinking. They're just parroting all these what they've been told to say, or either subconsciously or maybe they're awake when they're hearing it. But they're just repeating stuff that they're told by their master.
Well, even that, I still can't.
Oh, yeah, where does that come from?
I still think, David, they, and I'm not trying to be cute here, I really do think some of these people some kind of alien look. They've been talking.
Well, I do too. Seriously, I do also.
They've been talking forever. They being, I don't know, UFO people or ancient writings on walls in South America or whatever about alien visitors to this planet. Now, most of that, I'll just go, yeah, hey man, that's really interesting. But when you hear and see these people and see that they don't appear to have any kind of grounding into this earth, this society, this ecosystem, this dying planet. And you wonder why you have to live here too, Newt Gingrich. You have to live here too, Rick Perry. Why are you not more grounded into the things necessary to guarantee the survival? I don't know. I'm sorry.
I'm baffled too, Michael, but you know, a lot of my thoughts really are really right on with yours. One other thing I wanted to mention before I go is, you know, I've been checking these other stations the last few hours, you know, when your commercials are on and stuff, and they're just drumming up the fear hour by hour. They're adding a little more fear drumming.
About this thing
on Sunday.
About this this warning? Yeah, of course.
Yeah, and then now they're getting details. And just every hour, it's amazing how much fear they want to put into people. So I'll leave it with that, Michael. And I just want to thank you for speaking up like that for the rest of us here in the choir.
Well, I appreciate your thoughts, your comments, David. Thank you very much. Hope you call again. Take care, okay?
Yeah, I will. Thanks.
All right. Yeah, I've tried to avoid that topic. You know, the credible threat. People from Afghanistan, or was it Pakistan, coming here on airplanes back in August or July, something. I don't know. I've caught little bits and snatches, but I just can't, I can't go there. I can't get involved in that on the fear level. Most of the rest of the world, Europe, South America, Asia, India, the Middle East, Russia, Mexico deal with ongoing acts of terror. There are two places that are pretty much exempt from it up to this point, United States and Canada. Nobody has any reason to commit an act of terror in Canada. But the United States, I mean, when you stop and think about it, this will probably piss off a number of people, when you stop and think about how many acts of terror the United States has committed around the globe, just in the past decade. But if you want to go back 10, 20, 30, 50, 75, 100, 200, back to the beginning, remember how this country was founded on slavery, genocide. If those two things are not terror, somebody better give me a different definition. And was it Rap Brown or was it Stokely Carmichael with the assassination of John Kennedy made the, at the time, seemingly unfeeling and horrible statement that the chickens appeared to be coming home to roost. What was he talking about? Was he trying to be a smartass or was he just stating a simple fact? If you read Noam Chomsky, you'll find that Noam Chomsky occasionally talks about the same idea. Yikes. Listen, have a sane weekend, okay? Should there be grieving for the people that died? Of course. I'll see you Monday. Take care. Keep it lit. I'm Mike Malloy. Have a great weekend, Kevin Kinney, wherever you are. Say goodnight, Kevin.
Good night, Michael.